the CHGO White Sox podcast, coming to you live from Studio A of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me, Vinny Duber, our CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can follow him at Vinny Duber and read his latest piece up at allchgo.com about Garrett Crochet, the opening day starter. The man in the middle is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him at ectorwall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. You seem a little down.
I'm good. Real good.
Yeah. Just a confident, quick hello?
Yes. Okay. I just want to get to the show. I'm excited about this.
I've started to read into the hellos. Okay. Because you mentioned that, like, you can kind of tell your mood by the hellos. Mm-hmm. So I guess my herbometer is off.
So it's just, you think I'm kind of melancholy today? I'm good.
John Cougar melancholy.
Sometimes there's a real...
He was a great Cabbage Patch Kid.
Real
Garbage Pail Kid.
Punch to your hellos.
There are. Yeah.
Today didn't have that punch.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'll have it tomorrow, guys. Tune in tomorrow.
Make sure you hit that like button.
And today, too.
Hit that subscribe button. You can follow us at @CHGO_White Sox. Thank you to Sarah for producing today.
Hi.
Hello. And we are excited to talk today about Nick Nastrini, the possible fifth starter for the White Sox in their rotation. We'll talk a little bit more about Garrett Crochet being named the opening day starter. And again, you can read Vinny's new article up at allchgo.com. And we'll close it out with some Reynaldo Lopez talk because...
Old friend.
Old reliever. Old closer. Hell, even old starter. Become new starter. We might see Reynaldo Lopez be a starter against the White Sox. What's going on here? We'll talk about that later on in the show. I think his last time he started, he struck out like 15. I don't know why they stopped doing that. Anyways, let's jump into some Nick Nastrini talk. It seems like we have the four names in the White Sox rotation.
The first four? Yeah. I would imagine we have the first four.
The only one that would be like iffy would be Flexen.
No, he's not iffy.
I think he's in.
I don't think any of them are iffy. They just haven't officially been slotted yet. You know what I mean?
You'd write them in pen, is what you're saying.
Correct. At this point, okay. Yes.
So those names being Garrett Crochet, opening day starter, then likely Eric Fetty, who was seemingly the second starter, then Soroka third, Flexen four?
I believe that's the schedule currently, if you drew it out with your... If you counted days on your calendar with where they're starting in the Cactus League, I believe that is how they'll probably line up one through four, yeah.
So, the question of the podcast, the question, the headline of the show, will Nick Nastrini be the fifth starter for the White Sox in 2024? It's been good so far in spring training, but he been good enough?
Well, your question, in 2024? Yes. On opening day 2024? I don't know about that. And I think I'd probably lean no. That being said, the other options do not seem plentiful. Or I should say, exciting options do not seem plentiful. Nick Nastrini has been very good in spring training, but I believe he only has, four starts at AAA after he got promoted late last season from AA. Listen, the numbers are good. He looks good. He's got the confidence. He's been talking about it for a long time now. But the rest of it, the rest of your quote-unquote candidates would be either young guys who are less experienced than he is, right? Even someone like Melissa mentions in the chat, Drew Thorpe, who was just the headline of the Dylan Cease trade, the headliner of the Dylan Cease trade. He only had, I think it was three starts at AA last year. So he's even less experienced than Nastrini, even though we heard from Chris Getz that the Padres were apparently considering him for their opening day rotation. And then you've got a bunch of other young guys down there, probably not as experienced. And then you would turn to the veteran guys who are non-roster guys there who are given flyers, depth guys, your Brad Kellers, your Chad Cools, your Jake Woodfords, if you would. If we want to keep talking about options, Tuki Toussaint is still on the roster. Jared Schuster's already been sent to the minor leagues, so it's not going to be him. And then there's the possibility that they would go sign a free agent, which has been their interest in a couple unsigned guys has been brought up by the national reporters, whether it's Michael Lorenzen, who was an all-star last year, or even a potential reunion with Mike Clevenger. Both those have been mentioned, but haven't happened yet. We're getting really down to the wire here. Who knows if that would be kind of a, you know, ready to go right as soon as the bell rings on opening day. I don't know. So I would say Nastrini certainly looks the best. If you're talking about winning the job with your within a competition, he's performed the best in the spring. But is Touki Toussaint is one of those non-roster guys I mentioned more realistic, so they give Nastrini just a little bit more time to, you know, get his bearings at the AAA level.
We've already talked about Garrett Crochet, and we're going to talk about him a little bit more, but that is already a thing where you're experimenting with him being a starter. His first major league start will be on the 28th of March this year. Then you're going to have also another pitcher who's never pitched in the major leagues as a starter. That's going to be a lot to ask of that two guys that they back in, and then they're the first starter and the fifth starter, so they'll be back-to-back. Imagine if Nick Nastrini has a bad start and you have to have a bullpen game after he goes out, and then Garrett Crochet has a bad start, then you have to have another bullpen game. You're just taxing your bullpen. So I would see more of a veteran person that can give you innings. Now, I don't know if Brad Keller's up to speed yet, or the Chad Cools or Jake Woodford has pitched in the spring, but I would see more of those type of guys who are veterans, who know how to get innings out of themselves, know how to set themselves up for success in the major leagues to varying degrees, instead of another person that we don't know what you're going to get, especially Nick Nastrini. I think Vinny just said, what, three starts?
I think he's got four at AAA. Drew Thorpe only had three at AA.
Yeah. Four games, two starts, 11 innings pitched. He relieved Cease that night. So Cease went the first three, and then Nastrini went.
You're talking
three.
About Cactus League.
What are we?
We were talking about last year at AAA.
So, oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, AAA, he had four starts.
And as Turk Ferguson says, like, eventually.
It's a funny name.
I'm fine with him being in the rotation, and I believe that he will be in the rotation if he pitches like he pitched last year. Well, it was just like a four ERA. Fine. As a fifth starter, that's perfect. But to start the season where you're already doing something experimental with Garrett Crochet, I don't think you do the other end of the bullpen or the other end of the starting rotation the same way.
But, and I don't, I mean, this is not me disagreeing, we have seen Michael Kopech apparently fail his assignment and be demoted. We have seen Garrett Crochet pass with flying colors and be named the opening day starter. Nick Nastrini, in those 11 innings pitched in spring training, my bad, not his 19 in AAA, a .82 ERA.
It's been awesome.
A whip of .818.
That works.
Do you not reward somebody who clearly said, I want to make the rotation, and has went out and pitched like a guy who will or, you know, should be in the rotation?
I think it depends on who you ask. Not that there's discord within the White Sox, but there is obviously a different viewpoint when you're the manager of a team trying to win as many games as you can versus when you are part of a front office that is building for the long term.
Well, it seems like Getz and Bannister would be making the decision. I think Pedro could say what he would like, but
answering your question.
What do you think Getz? I was trying to push a little bit more. What do you think Getz and Bannister is? Because they're the ones making the final decision.
I would think that you would want to make sure that player development is done the way that you want to see it. And in a year when there's no need to rush anybody, there's that. The other side of that coin, though, is that what you were just talking about. Go ahead and let him do his thing at the major league level. Learn to fail. You know what I mean? And learn how to bounce back from that kind of thing. That player development can happen at the major league level. And if they determine that he is ready for that, then go ahead and give him that assignment. It can be aggressive, because if he goes out there and gets shelled and is developing along the way, what does it matter? The team's not supposed to win many games.
And I just want to add, with Crochet, we know that he might have a limited amount of bullets. With Nastrini, he's pitched 114 innings, 116 innings in his two professional careers. 2021 was his last college year. 2022 and 2023 were his first professional years in the minor leagues. Do they just take that same approach of, well, if you're going to give us 130 innings, 120 innings, might as well be at the major league level because you're getting the most out of that development?
Perhaps. And certainly, you know, you bring up the idea of a reward, you know, for a job well done in spring training. There's positives to that too, right? And that can give you confidence, and that can give you the, idea that you're comfortable at the major league level, that you're comfortable around these guys, so you're not coming up to brighter, more glaring lights. One name that does jump to mind, and Sean, you're going to have to go on the stat page and give me the specifics of this, but the way they handled Dane Dunning comes to mind a little bit. I believe he was very good, at Double A, Then they the season ended and he was at Double A. Then the season began, a little bit more time at Double A, little bit of time at Triple A, and then he was in the majors before the end of that season, I believe, if memory serves. Maybe that's a kind of a blueprint for or a not a blueprint, a comp maybe for what Nastrini's path might look like. He ends the season well, but with a limited number of games at AAA, goes there just for a little bit, and then he's on to the major leagues, you know, fairly quickly. That could be an outcome of this as well.
We'll take a Dane Dunning reprieve, then we'll take an ad break, and then we'll continue to talk about the Nastrini stuff. I think the pandemic kind of messed him up. I don't know if he had Tommy John in 2019, but apparently he didn't pitch in 2019, Dane Dunning. 2018, he was at Advanced A and Double A, and then 2020, he made his debut with the Sox.
Right, but
so he was never at
Did he not
Charlotte.
Pitch in the minor leagues at all?
He went...
In 2020. Minor leagues to pitch in.
No? So 2016, he was with the Nats system, and then 2017 with the Sox, A ball and double A ball, and then 2018 Advanced A, and then Double A, and then 2019 no.
Okay, so I'm just entirely wrong.
I guess.
Yeah. All right.
I'm sorry. My bad.
Hey, there's a lot of minor leaguers to follow back then.
Yeah, he went under Tommy John on March 18th.
Correct.
So in 2019, so he missed that entire season. And then he was added to the 40-man, I guess, to protect from the Rule 5, and then was called up on August 19th. So it wasn't even at the start of that pandemic year, right? Because that pandemic year started in July?
Right, yeah. So I'm glad I had you look it up, because otherwise it would have just been me disseminating wildly incorrect information.
Hey, you know, we like to always give out the correct information. Why don't we take a break and let people know about the great Wisconsin innovation? I actually think that they created... correct news. I think they
I'll tell
created
you this.
Journalism integrity.
I'll tell you this. What I'm about to read will be accurate, and that is that Leinenkugel's is delicious. Wisconsin Innovation has produced quite the fleet of wonderful Leinenkugel's flavors. Of course, you got what Herb's drinking, the sunset wheat. I like to see some berry vice in our bucket there. That's very exciting. I, of course, like the honey vice as well, made with real Wisconsin honey.
You took German, right? Ooh. You're really hitting the vice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're really hitting the vice.
Yeah.
How would you say this?
But
berry vice. Had a jacket.
You went with the vice.
Had a jacket called Edelweiss.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And then of course there's the delicious kind you can get down in Florida, Miami vice. So thank you. But of course, Wisconsin Innovation has produced many other wonderful things: the indoor water park, the cheese curd, the Summerfest. But guys, Summer Shandy. That might be at the very top of the list, and it is Shandy season. A lovely sunny day here in Chicago on the first day of spring. Nay, I say summer's already here if you go to the Jewel and you see that big stack of cases of Summer Shandy. So if you're going to the lake for a picnic, the parking lot for a tailgate, hell, all the way up to Wisconsin for a nice paddle in a canoe, you got to bring a whole case of Summer Shandy with you to enjoy that to the fullest. Now, I have obviously clicked to the wrong text message to find the part that I have to read, so I'm going to talk about it while I scroll to it. Here we are. Flavor life's simple moments with Leinenkugel's, the official craft beer of the Chicago White Sox. Go to leine.com/CHGO to find delivery options near you. That's leine.com/CHGO. Or pick up Leinenkugel's pretty much anywhere they sell beer. Leinenkugel's, flavor of the moment. Celebrate responsibly. The Jacob Leinenkugel Brewing Company, Chippewa Falls. Yes.
And Vinny, do you know what you also be saying yes to?
What's that?
March Radness. best offers of the year during the March Radness sales event over at Ray Chevy. Make your way to Ray Chevrolet on Route 12 in Fox Lake to join in on the savings. One of the top-selling Chevy dealers in the Midwest, you'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest Chevy inventories. They have the perfect tailgate vehicles awaiting for you at Ray Chevy during Truck Month. For a limited time, they're offering 0% financing for 72 months on new Silverados with over 100 available, and they have 125 vehicles under $20,000. Seriously, Herb, can pricing get more affordable?
No.
Especially with Ray's price promise. And everyone loves the word free. That's why this month you'll get at Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake a free oil change. And all you need to do is mention CHGO when scheduling your oil change. Start off the new year right and schedule it by April 1st. Visit Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake or RayChevrolet.com. They've been serving the community since 1963. Find New roads. All right, Herb, I feel like you've been quiet here. We got to get you a little bit. We got to pass you the rock, okay? We got to get Herb cooking here.
All right, can I answer Kevin Malloy's thing? I know it's going to get you hyped up a little bit.
Sure.
Because it kind of makes sense now. Young arms with a lot of innings make me feel more skeptical than a guy who's pitched for several years in relief. Call me crazy. Like, I'm wondering, since we're pondering about Nick Nastrini and his viability for the fifth starter, the Kopech thing just doesn't make sense to me anymore. Like, I know it didn't make sense to you at first blush, but now, like, you're putting Garrett Crochet at the beginning of that, and you're sending Kopech back to the bullpen without a sure fifth starter that you can count on. At least Kopech, you know he's done the job, and possibly he can be that guy that is turned around this year, but you're never going to see it unless you're going to do it.
I think Kopech would probably be the opening day starter if he was throwing strikes. I mean, if he was going out there and just hitting the zone, and maybe even if he was getting up hits and just not walking people and getting into 3-2 counts and, you know, consistently walking guys and just getting deep into, you know, the pitch count, I think he'd probably be the opening day starter. So I think it's just more of, you know, Kopech kind of screwed Kopech. I think
Brett screwed Brett.
Yeah.
Good reference.
I don't need to talk about that. but I think that's why a free agent signing would be weird to me. A, because it's the same reason why I think the Padres went out and dealt for Cease. We see the Giants signing Blake Snell, so maybe things will start unfolding, but they probably should have started unfolding like sooner. Like, you know, maybe Jordan Montgomery should sign now, and like maybe Michael Lorenzen should sign like now. Like, we should start picking up the pace.
Season starts in a week.
Right. So my thing is, it does seem like Nick Nastrini will be their best option, or a better option than a free agent who might not be ready to go. And plus, if you are rewarding Garrett Crochet, shouldn't Nick Nastrini also be rewarded? Like, I just think that if you're going to demote Kopech, you should be following the same lines if you're also, you know, rewarding Crochet by rewarding Nastrini. I don't think a free agent makes sense. And at this point, it seems like it's lining up to be Nastrini, in my eyes.
Could be. I'd love to, lay out the spring pitching schedule in front of me and see and try to count, because I honestly believe.
Is that announced? Like, can we see that online, or is that just
so they'll
like
post it? So you can see. No, you cannot see it online. Okay. They post it in the clubhouse a few days in advance, and so when we're down in Arizona, we can see it in the clubhouse and report it back to the masses. But they don't, you know. It's not like they have probables, you know, a week in advance for Cactus League games that they have to announce. But what I would say is, I still believe, and I know I brought this up yesterday, that Garrett Crochet, while he has earned a spot in this rotation, and you shouldn't take anything away from what he's done, I think he might be the opening day starter because Dylan Cease is no longer on the team, and they needed somebody to fill that spot.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think if this was back at the end of February, and they could still jimmy around the schedule a little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
Fetty would be at the front, and he'd be scheduled to end up on this
But let's say Kopech's still throwing strikes. My point is more like,
I'm saying
Nastrini's
that,
taking Kopech's spot.
Oh, right. Yes. Sure.
Yeah.
I thought you meant opening day. I guess what I'm saying is Kopech would then have been the fifth starter or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he was probably on that track to pitch behind the guys that they know are going to be in the rotation.
And I didn't think they probably would have cared to give him rest. I think he's also the longest tenured opener. So, like, I think that's why he might have, if he was throwing strikes, would have been given that, like, as you mentioned, honor. Like, you know, I don't know.
So I heard what you said yesterday and today. Like, so you're saying this is more out of circumstance that he was on the schedule close to what Dylan Cease was, who was going to be the opening day starter, and to not mess up other people's schedules, they could just have Garrett Crochet, who was kind of close to there, can be like, okay, you're the guy that's in line, and you'll get this honor instead of anybody else to mess them up.
It's a hypothesis.
Yeah.
I'm not down there. I haven't asked anybody about it, but I would say this. Don't take anything away from Garrett Crochet, who has been the White Sox best pitcher in spring training, right? I mean, he if it is about competition and winning because you're winning a job because you were the best, he has been the best. And so great for him that he gets this honor, like you said, because he has been the best pitcher this spring for the team. That being said, if Dylan Cease had been traded before spring training started, I'm not sure Garrett Crochet would be the opening day starter. He would just have done a fantastic job and won a spot in the rotation.
And today's takeaways, Vinny, are presented by Factor. Use code CHGO Socks 50 to get 50% off your first Factor box and free wellness shots for life with any active subscription at factormeals.com/CHGO Socks 50. And that's just 50 as well. It's just the numerals 50. So CHGO Socks 50 to get 50% off your first Factor box at factormeals.com/CHGO Socks 50. You mentioned, he has been their best pitcher so far. I mean, it's been really impressive. And I tweeted this last year, and I didn't really realize this. He struck Ohtani out last year. So if you asked, hey, what was Garrett Crochet's most impressive moment? And you said, striking out Shohei Ohtani in spring training, I would have to ask, what time? Right? Like, he's done this multiple times. This is just a day's work for him.
So you would mean this happened two springs ago then, I'm guessing.
Yeah, 2022.
He missed the spring last year.
I think it's still 2023.
Sure.
I got to be honest.
You'll turn the calendar over sometime in June or July.
Yeah, right. but I tweeted, spring training does not matter unless it's Garrett Crochet looking like Randy Johnson. And he's looked like Randy Johnson. And I was looking up Randy Johnson stats. One year, he just kind of turned it on. And he just started locating strikes, stayed healthy, was throwing 101. Is Garrett Crochet just going to do this for the rest of the year? Because I think a lot of White Sox fans are looking for something to be excited about.
I mean, I'll bet against it, but because that's Randy Johnson is an anomaly. There's not many like him. But yeah, Garrett Crochet, if anybody on the White Sox can do it, it'll be him because of the body that he has, the young naivete that he also carries with him, that he doesn't really care about innings limits and pitch limits and things like that. I mean, I hope his body goes along with that philosophy too, but I would say if he believes it, put it out in the atmosphere and I'll be behind you. But I'm going to be also skeptical that he can do what they are, I guess. I mean, it's not even announced what he is doing. If he's an actual real major league starter that's giving you 5 to 6 innings each time he's going out, or he's just an opener now who's ramping up his pitch length so he can get stretched out properly. And then when he does in the middle of the year, then he's a major league starter. So I don't know what he is yet. So once they get an announcement, because they had an off day today, and I didn't think they spoke to Pedro after the game last night, so I don't know the deal yet of where they're going with him being the opening day starter, if that means what it usually means, where you're the ace of that staff and they're expecting you to pitch a certain amount of innings.
Yeah, I mean, the uncertainty just, keeps building and building with every, road you go down in this conversation about Crochet, and you really kind of said it all, which is, it's great for him, obviously, that he's been named the opening day starter. The White Sox are obviously confident that they have someone who's, promising right now, so it's good for the team. But how many innings is Garrett Crochet going to throw this season? Great question. How about this? How many innings is Garrett Crochet going to throw next Thursday?
Yeah.
He hasn't thrown more than 3 in a spring training game yet. Is he they kept telling us at the beginning of camp how slow the process was going to be in stretching him out, because obviously, for good reason, they want to make sure, how is your body recovering between these outings as we ask more and more of you, right? But you got Garrett Crochet standing up there saying, I want to be the guy that can throw 7 innings every time out, every fifth day. If he does that, obviously he's not going to. If he does that, he's going to eclipse his major league innings total before the end of May.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he'll be doing it in 10 starts, right? So, I mean, there is so much we don't know. Are they going to view him as, hey, man, go out there and at first month of April, 3-4 innings. That's all you got to worry about. But then they got to build their bullpen in a way that can weather that.
Yes.
And then their bullpen has to weather that. The other 4 guys have to be good. Are the other 4 guys going to do their job and eat innings? Does that determine who the fifth starter is, because they need somebody to go out and say, well, we know Touki Toussaint walked 4 guys today and gave up 2 home runs, but he pitched 6 innings and our bullpen really needed him to. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's valuable for Pedro and the White Sox as they try to get through the first month or two of the season.
The White Sox need their own Jordan Lyles. Just throw innings, that. Be bad.
I mean, that could have been Michael Kopech. He could have just thrown innings. I guess, you know, he could only throw 120. If he was good, he would throw 180.
But here's the thing, Sean. That was what Chris Getz said. Chris Getz said that he wasn't efficient enough. Chris Getz's point on Kopech was that he was getting into so much trouble early that he wasn't lasting long enough. The White Sox seem to be placing an emphasis, if we read into what he said based on the Kopech decision, on some guys throwing some innings this year. And I think you can count on a guy like Fetty to do that, even if the success isn't there that he had in Korea. He's been around the block in the big leagues, and you can probably trust him to throw some innings. Chris Flexen, same way. He's been around the block in the big leagues. Go out there, give us, make sure you're giving us 5-6, you know. Garrett Crochet probably isn't at that point right now. Maybe he will be by the middle of the summer, but that's what I'm saying. The uncertainty is just so big.
Right. Someone mentioned in the chat here, saw somewhere Crochet hasn't pitched 4 innings in a game since college. It was Patrick Nolan who mentioned that. It was against the Florida Gators on May 11th, 2019.
Oof.
What were you doing in 2019? Oh, you were covering the White Sox. Oh,
I was.
You were covering the White Sox. Look at you guys.
I was in college.
You were in college. There you go. And then Daryl Vanskowen asked Garrett Crochet how many innings he can go or how many pitches. Garrett said, kind of the story of my spring is be where my feet are. We'll see when that day comes. If I'm efficient, who knows? And then I'm believing this is a follow-up question. 5 innings? Yeah, I think so. Keep pushing me. So
I think so. I think I can go 5 innings.
Hey, what if he throws 10 pitches every single inning? That's 9 innings, right? If he's, you know,
very efficient.
90 pitches.
You think he's going to go 90 pitches?
If he's efficient.
Has he thrown 90 pitches in a ever?
No. 46 is as high twice.
Oh, my God.
I don't think it could be 46. We looked at...
No, I mean, listen, I think we're selling him a little bit... I think we're probably selling him a little bit short. This is a guy who has been training to try to do this thing all offseason long and all spring long, right? I mean, it's not like he showed up to spring training or is going to show up on opening day where he was at on the last day of last season. Like, it's not... He's probably capable, I'm sure, of throwing 50, 60 pitches. It's just they need to make sure that when he does that, that the next time he's capable of throwing 70, maybe. And I don't think anybody knows exactly how his body is, or at least they're not telling us, how his body is going to recover physically from throwing the 60 that will allow him to throw the 70 the next time out.
Lance Prostowski had the numbers that he threw 53 pitches through his first 2 outings. So that's basically, you know, 26 and a half pitches per outing. And then he's gone longer now. So I'm assuming that, you know, if he was first at, you know, 20 or so, I don't know exactly what the number was, but it was 1.5 or 1 2/3. And then the next one he was at like 30 or so. It's likely that he's probably at this point up to 45 to 50. So,
I mean, maybe 50 goes 60 opening day.
I mean, 50 pitches, like that could be 2 innings.
Yeah. I mean, Randy Johnson could do that all the time.
9. Don't limit him.
But the thing is,
he wants to be a starter.
That is in his favor is that pitchers are usually ahead of hitters, especially when you come from the south to up north when the cold kind of hits you. He can probably get the Detroit Tigers to be swinging early and to be a little bit more anxious or striking out a little bit more than they would be in the middle of summer when they're a little bit more heated up. So,
you're saying it's going to be colder on the south side of Chicago at the end of March than it is in Lakeland, Florida?
It's weird. Yeah.
It's predictable. Tigers are going to get a rude awakening.
They don't call me Tom Skilling Jr. for nothing.
They do.
Herbie Sunshine.
They do. I mean, they call you Herbie Sunshine. That's true. Make sure you hit the thumbs up button. We'd really appreciate it. And again, hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. We'd appreciate it again. We also want to give a shout out to our new diehards like Joseph, Salvador, Jamil, Michael, and Danny. So thank you very much for becoming a diehard today. And you can become a diehard at allchgo.com. You get a choice of a shirt when you sign up, a pack of stickers. You also get a membership card and access to our CHGO Lounge, our Discord channel where you get to chat with diehards alike. Let's take a break, and we'll let you know about some of our great sponsors. And then we will talk more about not only the White Sox rotation, but the Braves rotation. And you may wonder why.
Sean's doing advanced scouting for the second series of the season.
Advanced scouting. Let's let you know about our friends over at Empire today.
588-2300 Empire today.
With Empire today, you get shop at home convenience, the right product for your needs, quick and professional installation, and a low price guarantee. Empire Today is the best place to get new flooring, so of course they have copycats, but Empire cannot be beaten on their quality, service, and speed. Empire won't promise you the lowest prices because anyone who does is putting flooring in your home that they wouldn't put in theirs. They keep shopping at Floors simple so you don't have to be overwhelmed with all of these different selections. Empire knows what to pick. Empire is the experts. They have a very curated selection. So all you have to do is trust Empire. They have beautiful, beautiful floorings. All you have to do is just trust them and they'll put it in your house. All right. Their virtual floor designer also is a great way to see all this great selection and how it will look in any space in your home. It's easy. Just snap a picture and instantly see how new floors will look in your room. So schedule a free in-home estimate today. All listeners can receive a $350 off discount when they use promo code CHGO. Restrictions apply. See Empire Today. .com/CHGO for details. Again, all the listeners can receive a $350 off discount when they use promo code CHGO. See EmpireToday.com/CHGO.
At Circa, they have a tight money line split with a low hold model. Games will strive to be a minus 110 split on the Circa Sports menu, unlike other sportsbook, but may use a minus 115 or minus 120 splits. Circa Sports keeps as little money as possible on the large market bets, especially compared to other books. And at Circa Sports, they don't believe in limiting their players based on their winnings. Every player has the same limits, unlike other books, who do limit their winning players. We encourage bettors to download and explore all other sports betting apps available. Compare the lines from each of the sports books and realize that Circa has the best. There are real people behind the Circa Sports brand. When you're looking for customer service and as a person that has used apps before, you know the other sports books have bots and chat bots and people that are not knowledgeable about what they're talking about. But at Circa, man, I tell you what, all aspects of the app are being run by the same team that runs the main Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas. So you know you're going to get a real thing. Download the Circa Sportsbook app in Illinois at circasports.com/Illinois-app. That's www.circasports.com/Illinois-app to sign up today. Also be on the lookout for Circa events, watch parties, and tailgates. If you or somebody you know has a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537, or text GAMB to 833-234, or visit areyoureallywinning.com. And I believe our CHGO Bears and Cody and yourself are going out on Thursday for the tournament watch-along party.
Look at you plugging.
Look at you.
Mercy.
Brought to you by Circa.
Herbie Hawk here is just, you know, saying, I'll tell you what, and segueing. I mean, you're a true professional.
Yeah,
we're going to be out at Circa up in Waukegan. It's 4011. I don't know how to read addresses.
4011. 4011.
Okay.
Also would work.
All right. 4011 Fountain Square Place up in Waukegan. It starts Thursday at 9:30 a.m. And we have the CHGO Bears live show and also a college hoops watch party, as that is the first day of the NCAA tournament. I don't know if I could say the double M word.
I don't think so. That's why they say March Madness.
Mickey Mouse?
Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mantle.
Yeah, Mickey Mantle.
That's Mickey Morandini.
Ooh. Are there any White Sox that we can think of?
Minnie Minoso.
Look at you, huh? Quick and
boom. You're on top of it. So, yeah, come out and hang out with us over in Waukegan on Thursday at 9:30 with the CHGO Bears live show and a college hoop show. So let's real quick chat White Sox Tom in the chat saying 50 pitches for someone who just had Tommy John surgery seems like a lot. It's fake news. He had Tommy John surgery on April 2nd, 2022.
I mean, he had Tommy John surgery 2 years ago.
A minute ago.
Yeah. He's good. He's good.
He pitched last year.
No, he also had shoulder issues last year, too, on his way back from Tommy John. Like, that's of note that he barely pitched last year because of injuries, plural. But if you're specifically focusing on the Tommy John, it has been quite a long time, well past the normal comeback window in which he had that surgery. Yeah.
Well, anyways, we'll see what happens with, you know, Garrett Crochet and Nick Destrini. I don't know if, you know, just kind of have to wait and see.
Hey, I'll say this. It's and, you know, I saw, you know, I think I was reading Daryl's story and he pointed this out, and it's exactly true. We haven't really had a lot to focus in on this spring in terms of headlines for this team, right? I mean, we're sitting here talking about, oh, who's going to be the fourth infielder? Oh, are they going to score any runs? But, I mean, you know, there's been stuff, obviously, and certainly last week what happened with Cease and Kopech, you know, was big news. But in terms of, hey, some specific things that fans got to watch this season, outside of like, hey, will Luis Robert Jr. be good again kind of thing, Garrett Crochet and the White Sox just gave you something to watch. Because that is going to be interesting no matter how it ends up. It's going to be interesting. So giving you a reason to turn on that TV every fifth day.
Mercy. Anything else on the Nastrini or Kopech, Herb?
I think the Crochet thing, if he does what he believes he's going to do, it's going to be one of the greatest stories in Major League Baseball this year. Because none of us, I don't think the most positive White Sox fan thinks he's going to be the guy that he thinks he's going to be. Even 120 innings seems like outlandish to me right now, but I'm rooting for the kid because he seems like he has a strong mind and he wants to do this thing. As he says in that quote, he's like, you know, bet me, you know, push me.
Right.
I'm in for it. And so if he does do what he does, even if the results are varying, 120 innings, if he gets to that level or above, I'm going to be flabbergasted.
And let's remember this, too. They didn't draft him to be a middle reliever.
No.
I mean, obviously, the circumstances of the year in which he was drafted changed a lot of things. The fact that he came up and pitched well out of the bullpen changed a lot of things. You know, you don't bird in the hand's worth two in the bush, right? Why would you, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But this guy was drafted pretty high in the first round to be a starting pitcher because they saw that potential in him. You might say that this has been a long time coming. You know, obviously, there's a lot of context in there besides just Sox finally get their starter. But this is what they always thought he could do on the night they drafted him, and here he is getting a chance to do it.
I love to see it, but I think the reliever thing also just made so much sense for him just because big guys are so difficult to maintain and keep healthy. There was a great video by Jolly Olive talking about Josh Johnson's three-year run of how he just dominated in Miami. I don't know if that's also going to you mouth Josh Johnson.
Josh Johnson. I was remembering up Josh Johnson.
I'm literally thinking who the hell that is.
A Burley teammate, correct?
Yeah, he made the first opening day, the home opening day start at the new Marlins Park. Ah,
there you go.
But he was like dominant in their final years at Pro Player, if that was the right name. But
I believe that at that point it was Landshark Stadium.
Yeah.
There was something in South Florida that Jimmy Buffett hadn't sponsored yet.
R.I.P. Josh Johnson, big guy, wasn't really, he was, you know, high fastball velocity, was throwing 95, which back then was like, you know, top three in MLB, but really wasn't able to stay healthy. And that's why, you know, after age 27, just kind of fell off. And it's like, if Crochet is able to go out there and give us 180 innings, I'll be shocked. And it will be the best story of Major League Baseball. But it's like, how repeatable is that? You know, maybe being a reliever is a smaller bite of the apple instead of trying to.
Where'd you get that phrase?
Chris Getz. He's so smart. He went to Michigan. But anyways, I don't know. One guy I did want them to sign, I pitched this idea, and then it just kind of got too depressing. But I was going to have the bad place for off-season plans, then I was going to have the okay place for off-season plans, and then I was going to have the good place for off-season plans. On the bad place, I was trading Aloy to Atlanta for Nicky Lopez and Mike Soroka, and somehow that, like, I got, like,
wow.
Yeah, Aloy didn't happen, but hey, somehow, you know.
Got him for less.
Yeah, I tapped into Alex Anthopoulos for a second there. But on the good place, I had Reynaldo Lopez signing for a three-year, $33 million contract with the first year being $7.5 million, two-year, $11 million, and third year being $16.5 million. And, of course, he goes out and signs, I'm pretty sure, a cheaper deal. He was, you know.
I thought he got good money.
He's only for $4 million this year.
Oh, annual.
Right, right.
The contract's bigger, right? The contract get up to 40?
No, 30.
30. All right.
3 year 30. So I was $3 million under or $3 million over, but $4 million, $11 million.
You would have taken that deal, I'm sure.
$11 million, right. And then there's an option for $8 million. There's a club option in 2027. But the idea was, hey, why not try to stretch him out? Because He got LASIK, and since he got LASIK, a 3.02 ERA, 131 innings pitched, a 1.12 whip, and it's kind of the same idea. You know, if Garrett Crochet can be a starter, why not let him be a starter? And it seemed like the main issue with Reynaldo Lopez was he couldn't see. Have we ever checked in on if Michael Kopech can see? But now Bryce Elder, who led off the first half with the Braves as a somewhat Cy Young candidate, and then flamed out in the second half. He's been optioned to AAA. Reynaldo Lopez now going to be the fifth starter for the Atlanta Braves.
The best team in the National League.
The best team in the National League. Who'd have thunk? And when is his first start going to be if he's the fifth starter?
Well, that'll come against the Chicago White Sox.
What? That's crazy.
Back at Guaranteed Rate Field.
They better get that tribute video ready.
Is it a Guaranteed Rate? Or is
Yeah.
I thought it was
outside.
No, first six games are Guaranteed Rate Field.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Two day games versus the Braves, too.
They better fly Lucas Giolito.
I'm not sure what the Braves schedule is, but if he's going to pitch the Braves, the second game of that series, game five, that would be April 2nd.
Huh. All right. So I don't know if it's surprising to you guys, but I mean, we always kind of thought Reynaldo Lopez was the closer for the White Sox in 2023 to start the year. And now he's a starter for the best team in the National League. Like, is this surprising? Are you shocked by this? Like,
I was shocked when they signed him for that much money, because I saw the Reynaldo Lopez, that pitcher of the White Sox, pretty good at the end of his White Sox tenure. And I think he went to the Angels and the Guardians and he was all right. But I was like, all right, why are they signing a reliever for that much money? And then immediately they're like, no, we see him and we're going to stretch him out as a starter. And you guys bring up a good point. Like, when he did have the LASIK, it seemed like his control got better, but the White Sox never really ventured into that, hey, we should make you a starter again. Because in 2018, while Lucas Giolito was the worst pitcher in baseball, Reynaldo Lopez was not one of the best pitchers in baseball, but he was much better.
He was the best pitcher on the White Sox.
On the White Sox, yeah. By far. And one of the things that you're talking about was when he struck out like 14 Detroit Tigers or Royals or
Tigers.
That day. And he looked dominant. He has filthy stuff. Slider, fastball that gets up into the triple digits. But when he's a starter, I think that, you know, gears down to mid-90s, which still gets people out. I'm excited to see what happens with Reynaldo Lopez in his career, because I've always cheered for him. I've always liked his demeanor about himself. I mean, he's a converted pitcher. He used to be like an infielder, an outfielder back in the day, and they said, you have too much strong of arm. You can't just be this guy who's out here in the outfield who can't hit. And so you're going to be a pitcher. And he's turned himself into a pretty good major league pitcher. So if he's on the Braves and the fifth starter, you know they're going to give him proper instruction and they're going to give him a decent amount of chances to do the job. And I think he's going to succeed. I hope when the White Sox do face him, they do put the bats on the shoulder and say, hey, prove it to me that you can get that ball over the plate. Because we remember the last time you were a starter, that was where your big bugaboos.
Yeah, and he did start some games in 2020 and 2021. He started in July 19th, his second game of that year for the Sox, but his first one was a relief appearance. And then in 2020, he did start some games, but he first made an appearance in July 26th and then didn't appear again until August 22nd. I don't remember if it was an injury or not, or if he got, you know, sent down.
I think he got sent. Well, he might have been on the IL, but it
just a lot of ups and
they
downs.
Didn't want to use him because he wasn't pitching very well, right? So, I mean, listen, you ask surprise. Obviously, this is a surprise. I think the surprise element is the fact that it's with the Braves, a team that, you know, is flush with talent, a team that didn't need to really kind of, you know, scrape or do experiments, right? They don't need to do these kinds of experiments because they're trying to win. They've got a ton of talent. had what, Sean, what you said played out and the White Sox brought him back and he ended up a starter for the White Sox, I don't know if that would have been terribly surprising just because he's done this before. He's shown he can handle that innings workload and he has been successful of late. They've praised his versatility kind of the whole time, the last few years as he was going through both starting and relieving. What's the question going to be there? So it probably would have made sense for a White Sox team that obviously is – we still don't know who the fifth starter is going to be, right? But that he was able to go to the Braves and immediately grab a rotation spot for a team that might win the World Series. Very impressive. Kudos to him. And, that shows that the Braves are being shrewd with their moves, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you mentioned him being all right for the Cleveland and Angels.
I mean, he was probably bad in the Angels when he first got there. The other way?
24 innings between those two teams, 4 earned runs.
Baby.
He was dominant. He didn't allow a run with Cleveland.
Raylo.
And 11 innings, no runs in Cleveland.
Raylo.
Though the Reynaldo Lopez, Lucas Giolito bromance got broken up.
And look what happened to Lucas.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't believe there's ever been a season in which Reynaldo Lopez and Aaron Bummer have not been teammates at the major league level.
Okay. All right.
No, Reynaldo pitched with the Nats. So,
Like he made a few starts. Yeah.
He pitched 44 innings.
That's right. I remember. Yeah.
Lopez
Bummer thing.
I am going to step all over it.
Think about Lucas Giolito. Both times he was without Reynaldo Lopez in his career, Tommy John surgeries.
Woof. All right.
Out of high school, wasn't with Reynaldo. Hey, man, you need to come back with him, man. Tell him to trade you immediately to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Your blankie needs to be there.
And blank names mentioned, I think the odds of Lopez failing are higher than Crochet. The last time we did see him in a full year starting with the Sox is 2018, and he had a 7.46 ERA through his first 5 games, and then he had that start at home against Detroit. 6 innings, 2 hits, 3 walks, 14 strikeouts, which is just insane. In his last start, his last month, he had an outing against Cleveland, 9 innings, 1 hit, 3 walks, 11 Ks. And then his last start of that year, 8 innings against the Tigers, 5 hits, 1 walk, 9 Ks. When he was on, he was on. And it's just, if he finds consistency, like the Braves might have found the true diamond in the rough. Like, I don't know. Hopefully, just for his success, and mainly because he's in the National League and not still with Cleveland, I hope he finds his success in the rotation.
We'll be talking about him again 2 weeks from today when he starts against the White Sox at the rate.
All right. Last stuff that we want to talk about here on the show is...
Something.
Oh, closer. We talked a little bit about starting the fifth starter. You have mentioned Jordan Leisure as the possible closer option for this team. I was wrong. I thought that they didn't have a named closer to start the year, but then you reminded me that it was Reynaldo Lopez.
You were half right.
Oh, okay.
Because Pedro last spring made it very clear that they were going to be doing closer by committee, that he doesn't care whether it's the seventh, eighth, or ninth. He's going to put the best pitcher in whenever it's the highest leverage situation. And I see him saying a lot of those same things again this spring. But then, if you remember correctly, last season started, and every time there was a save situation, it seemed, Reynaldo Lopez was being put into the game. And it didn't go very well early on either, and so he didn't last very long in that role. But I would imagine that we are going to see the exact same or something similar play out this year where, Pedro's going to say that, he's got all these guys that he can put in there whenever. It doesn't matter if it's the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, whoever. There is no closer. Everybody will pitch the 9th because that might be the most important inning or not. And then the season will start. And when there are save situations, you might see a pattern of who he calls on. So I believe that there's probably a preference. It doesn't mean that it will be an exclusive, usage for just one guy in the 9th inning, but there might be somebody who, like Reynaldo last year, gets those nods more often than not early on. We'll see.
And he has to be added to the 40-man, too. Jordan Leisure does.
I believe that is correct, yes.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm fine with a rookie being the closer on a team that's really bad. That's what you should be doing, having inexpensive people try out for positions that maybe you found gold at the end of it. And if Jordan Leisure comes into the year and he is the closer by default or just by winning the job, I'm fine with that. Just let him fail or succeed at his own leisure.
But I'm Ching.
There it is. But, yeah, I mean, you shouldn't be paying closers anyways. You should be finding those closers on your own roster. And if the White Sox have found Jordan Leisure on their own roster, this is the way of the future. Don't be paying people like, well, I mean, John Brebby's fine, but don't be going out and signing big-time money for Kendall Graveman or the Kellys of the world. Even though I love Liam, stop paying closers.
Hey. And it wasn't the worst trade in the world and what we're signing in the world because, you know, trading Dane Dunning to get Lance Lynn and signing Joe Kelly got you, I don't know, your fifth starter apparently eventually. And your closer and Trace Thompson.
That is also
so,
true.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think.
Is he back with. No, he's not back with a son of a bitch.
I guess that it is just a real shining way to go out for Rick Hahn. It wasn't the best way, but at least, you know, his final moves as White Sox GM were, you know, the Reynaldo Lopez, Lucas Giolito trade, the Lance Lynn trade. Like, he got the most out of his failures, I feel like. Looking back, I don't know.
Okay. But we'll see. There are obviously going to be other people in that bullpen, too. And, you know, I don't know if he would go with Brebbia or Hill or Steven Wilson as a closer type. It hasn't seemed like those guys have been discussed as those kind of roles. But if you're going into the season where you're just like, I got guys and we'll see what happens in whatever late inning, maybe you do see those guys in the ninth inning from time to time.
I don't know. It really feels like it's just going to be matchup dependent. And also, I mean, how many times is this team going to be in a high leverage ninth inning situation right. Where you have the lead?
Right. I mean, it'll happen, just not as often as it did when you had Liam Hendricks. But, you know, also don't forget, too, I believe the idea of Michael Kopech being a closer was just brought up organically. Didn't Jared Willis tell us that last week? So yeah. There's always that.
I'm not a fan of that because if his problems are walks, it seems like not a good place to put him, especially when the White Sox are going to be in these situations with usually probably just a one-run lead because they're not going to score a lot of runs. So I don't like Michael Kopech in high leverage situations from, hey, you're not good enough to start for us, but you know what? End the game. You walk too much, but fuck it. End the game.
And obviously the Sox like might not be as bad as last year in April going 8-21, but in those first 29 games, they had a save or a blown save, I think, in 6 games. So 6 of the 29 games, like, do you need a truly named guy for those 6 opportunities?
Might not. Yeah, might not.
I don't know. I think it's just mainly, you know, let's have Brian Shaw on the roster because he has a rubber arm and can throw 100 innings. Let's do, you know, basically the same with Tim Hill.
Steven Wilson.
Let's drive Jesse Chavez into the ground. Like, you know, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's really being tailored to win games, maybe just manage games.
That's important too, though, as you've brought this show full circle, because we were talking about how important that might end up being for the bullpen, given what's going on in the rotation.
Yeah. All right. Any final thoughts?
This is going to be like last year was not a good year by the actual play and the record. I think this year won't be good by the record, but I think it'll be at least exciting. We'll have a lot to talk about this year. I think the team will be exciting, even though they'll be losing. So I'm looking forward to next Thursday when we kick it off.
I hope you're right. And where will we be kicking it off, Herb?
The Ballpark Pub, 514 West Pershing at noon next week, next Thursday. Noon to 1 will be our show. Stay around. The game starts at 3. We have a watch party there. Then Sean and I will come back to the studio and do a show about the post game. But join us. There'll be Line and Kugel specials. There'll be food. There's good food, really good food at Ballpark Pub. And we'll be giving away some swag, too. So RSVP right now. Go to allchgo.com and find the link for that Ballpark Pub thing so you can RSVP today so we can know how many people are coming. There's already been people RSVPing. I think we got 10 yesterday. So get there already because the spots are selling out.
And that's sponsored by Line and Kugels, isn't it, Herb?
Oh, my God. Line and Kugels, the best beer ever. And I'm drinking one right now.
And is it not sold out?
It is not sold out right now. But get there before.
Is sold the right term?
Or no, it's free.
You can just show up, right? Yeah.
So yeah, no, I just want to make sure. Just
for the price of owning the house.
Just RSVP
to get there.
Yeah, don't worry. You don't have to put a credit card in or anything like that. Just go RSVP. Tell us.
It on the screen right now if you're watching on the YouTube.
$6 Leinenkugel draft.
Yes.
Might have to make my way over from the press box.
Come on. Have one, two, three, four. Why not?
Give away some swag. If you were with us last year or you heard about last year when we did the opening day broadcast, gave away a lot of t-shirts, a lot of bobbleheads, things like that of that nature. So come on over and celebrate with us at Ballpark Pub.
Yes. That's Vinny Duber, our CHGO White Sox beat writer. That's Herb Lawrence, our CHGO White Sox community leader. I'm Sean Anderson. Thank you to Sarah for producing the show. Thank you to everyone for hanging out with us in the chat. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button and make sure you're subscribing to the CHGO Sports YouTube channel. Thank you to everyone. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 5 p.m. Goodbye. We all silly like the mayor.